Spiegel and Holmes.
Okay, here we go, sports fans.
Afternoons on the Score.
Mark Grody, I was worried when I was following you today on Instagram. Has Dave been fed?
Yes. Yes. Dave has remained quiet and sleeping, and he, as a matter of fact, because we're on the bye and I get to get everything done, Dave is going in for a weight check tomorrow. We're going to find out if he's made any progress.
Welcome to the Pawnee Bicentennial Gala. Not long ago, this town was barely on the map. Unless you're talking about a map of the cities with the most obese pets.
Okay.
Good luck to Dave.
Thanks for asking, Lawrence. I appreciate that, man.
I like Dave the cat.
I know.
DTC.
What do you feed him, Mark?
Food? I can't remember the brand name, Shane, but it's wet food. I can figure out the brand name.
Just do less of it.
Clothes for cats isn't really a new idea, but there was never really a line made for overweight cats who might feel a little self-conscious about the way they look in certain outfits. That's why I got the baggy sweater on him to cover up his gut, and the beret to take attention off his plump head.
Well, you know, we've tried everything, Shane. You know, do cats take that Ozempic? Can I get that Ozempic for days?
Why is the cat so fat?
Dad, Snowball's not fat. She's just got winter fur. Someone dangle some string.
Can I just give that cat a shot?
It's
called Meowzempic.
By the way, Shane.
Diabetic cats are really pissed they can't get the regular stuff anymore because the fat ones are taking it.
You can just go to a med spa now. You don't have to go to an actual doctor to get Meowzempic.
Here's the truth, won't nobody say. That Ozempic is whooping Hollywood's ass. Do you hear me? They know it's too strong. I done seen the paperwork. They said Oprah took so much that Gail lost 12 pounds. Do you understand what I said?
The official adventures of
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score.
It is the Spiegel and Holmes show. He is Matt Spiegel. I am Lawrence Holmes. Or do we just go by our middle names?
What is your middle name?
Wendell.
Wendell. Oh, Herman and Wendell.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? That's a really good thing to put in our back pocket for some bizarro world version of this show. Like, if there's a topic that comes up that isn't a fit for Spiegel and Holmes, we could say, let's put that on the Herman and Wendell show.
I like that.
I feel like I don't know you like that. I don't really know if I want to call you Wendell.
See? Really?
And yet you're good with calling me Herman? You're good with that?
I never said that either. You were next.
I also
went right to Lawrence, so what's that about?
I also have another middle name, but you have to really know me.
Is it your confirmation name?
It is, Shane. Okay. Very good.
Love that. Love
Very
that.
Good.
I didn't realize that. I have a Hebrew name. Yeah, but you know.
Yeah?
I'm not gonna share it.
Chutzpah.
I just wanna have a name that I don't share. I mean, if Marshall's got one and now Lawrence has one that he's not sharing, I'd like to have something that I don't share. So I'm not gonna share my Hebrew name.
Okay.
How about that?
That's fine.
Yeah, you feel good about that?
Is this like his protest on Turn the Page? Like, is that what's going on here?
Yeah, there's an attitude issue for like the last 36 hours.
It's
and
very
I think
weird.
It all comes back to Turn the Page.
Like, the way he came after you this afternoon in the meeting was strange.
A couple times. Yeah.
For anybody who doesn't know, on Wednesdays, we usually turn the page to the next Bears opponent. And now that we haven't done that, I feel lost. I don't know what we're doing. I don't know who's playing who at any point in the NFL.
Or who's zooming
in. I do know that. It was Aretha Franklin.
Very good.
That's who was zooming who.
I don't know
who exactly she was zooming, but everybody's zooming everybody. I was on a Zoom this morning, but I don't know what the hell's going on in the NFL because he won't let me turn the page.
Well, we can turn the page on the rest of the NFL. We just can't turn it on the Bears.
You don't understand how my pages work.
It's a different book.
Yeah, it's a whole
stuck
different
together.
Book. That's how excited I am about the Bears start. I'm that excited that the pages of my book won't even turn. Hey!
Well,
it's not my fault.
Well, here's the good thing is that there isn't a shortage of news in Chicago sports to talk about.
Yeah. No.
Because we've got a thing that we need to continue to discuss. It broke during our show, the Britt Garoli piece in The Athletic, that Jerry Reinsdorf is open to selling the White Sox.
Since you tied the room together so nicely here at the top, let's go ahead and say that it's a really good week in Chicago to have that story leak. here on the bye week. It's a very good, it's a very fortuitous bit of timing
great
to have
us.
That thing leak.
Great for us.
Great for them.
I was
great for anybody who wants the conversation.
I was discussing it with Mitch Rosa, and he was like, how about this? Mm-hmm. You know, bye week, here you go.
Yeah.
It was almost like we planted it.
And if you are either the Nashville leverage or you are the Chicago leverage, and you're wanting the stadium stuff to play out, it's a very nice week to have that happen.
Yeah, to have the news cycle to yourself where it doesn't get lost inside of excitement for the Bears. Like, even doing it yesterday, like, if you were to leak it,
sure,
yesterday would be, because Monday you're not going to do it. People they want to talk about the Bears, right?
Yeah, exactly. So
but Tuesday afternoon, you've done all of your secondary and maybe tertiary stories on the Bears.
Uh-huh.
All of a sudden, here you go.
How about a Wednesday afternoon when this story breaks? You've done your 2 days, and you've got two more full days of hot sports talk action and newspaper inches, and the Bears aren't even around to give you conversation. It's a remarkably fortuitous bit of timing.
The Bears can't even go to their facility. That's the rule. The players can't go to the facility this week.
And here we are. So look, we've both done some digging, and we want to talk about this. I think the big question is, it's still, and I think people are pondering it, is it real? Is this story real?
You know, it's funny, because when you brought this up in pre-show, I had an answer in my mind and just from the people that I've talked to.
Uh-huh.
Let me throw something philosophically back at you.
Okay.
What if it wasn't real? And over the last 24 hours, we've helped to make it real. And I don't mean the Spiegel and Holmes show.
Sure, but the news
mean
cycle.
Media capital M. What if it may have been a something, but maybe wasn't a thing? And then it gets out into the public discourse. And now, maybe if you're someone, like, let's say that you're someone that's got a few dollars together, or you've got a group, and all of a sudden, maybe you're listening to The Score, or you were reading The Athletic, or you were watching ESPN, and you're like, I didn't know that the White Sox might be open to listening to a deal. I know some folks with some dollars. Maybe I can call them and say, are you interested?
Well, there you go. Then that can be part of your intention of getting that story out there. So then does that have this part of it make sense? Because that's fascinating. I mean, you and I both heard this in the pre-show from Kenny Rosenthal, who is like, because we were openly questioning the veracity of the story yesterday. We're like, man, but The Athletic doesn't usually act as a leak receptacle.
It's The Athletic. It's the New York Times, like, editorial. You know
sure.
what I mean? Like, there are a lot of stop gaps at The Athletic / New York Times that would allow you to be like, nah, that's not how they get down.
And we think of Kenny Rosenthal as like the godhead of the baseball news department of that endeavor. So when we heard Kenny Rosenthal on Foul Territory, I guess it's Fair Territory, describe it this way, it made us think.
When people ask, how true is this story? Pitcheroli is one of the best reporters in baseball. If she's writing it, it's true. And the question is, how real is it?
So that's hilarious. It's true, but how real is it? So, Lawrence, I ask you, are those the same questions or not? Is that it's true, but how real is it? It's freaking hilarious.
It's a really interesting turn of phrase there. Yesterday, what I got from people was legitimate surprise. I think just knowing these sources for decades, it was like, wait, what? What do you mean?
Uh-huh.
Send you the story. Huh?
Yeah.
That's not what I had heard. You know what I mean?
Sure.
That's kind of what I got back. Today, it's been different.
Yeah. And see, I think I understand what Kenny's saying there. I think it, yes, of course it's true, means that a source told Britt Giroli this, that somebody very close to Jerry or Jerry himself said, I am open to selling. And I've already talked about this with Dave Stewart.
And I would imagine that want to give Britt the credit. I would imagine multiple sources have told her.
So let's say, yeah, she talked to Jerry, then she talked to somebody with Stewart's camp, and like, okay, yeah. So then at that point, it is true. It is a story.
Britt Jolie is one of the best reporters in baseball. If she's writing it, it's true. And the question is, how real is it?
So how real is Jerry's interest? So Jerry's putting it there, and Stewart's interest is real, and then, but Stewart's interest is honest, but how real is the possibility that Jerry might sell before he dies?
Let's go back to something that you brought up yesterday inside of this discussion, and it's the idea of a leak like this could be beneficial to both parties who were in the report.
Yes.
If you're Jerry Reinsdorf, the scenario that I was talking about a few minutes ago,
yes,
like there might be someone going, I didn't even... Gets on the phone. Hey, do you guys know the White Sox are taking, like, offers? We should put something together. Like, let's sketch something out and send it on over and see if any of this is real. If you're Dave Stewart's group, there's an elevation that comes with this. You're a serious player if you're connected to one of the oldest, and I don't mean by age, but by a establishment. One of the older owners in the game has been like, well, maybe... That gives you some credibility as a group that you might not have had.
That's absolutely true, because Dave Stewart is a fascinating figure, a truly great pitcher who was so good on so many good teams. He got elevated to one of the Black Aces, multiple years of 20 wins, you know, and then his post-baseball life has been him searching for exactly the right thing to do. He was an agent for a while. He was a team executive for a while. Now he wants to be an owner.
A team executive who hired
Tony La Russa.
Okay.
And it and so yes, he's part of the inner circle for sure, but he's also now an aspiring owner, and all of baseball has been openly questioning whether he actually has enough money, whether there actually is enough capital in his group and among his people to be a viable player for a new franchise.
And to think about it this way, if you're the Stewart group, and I'm not saying that this is what they did, I'm just saying that you can connect some dots and you can start wondering about this connection. If you're the Stewart group and maybe you have had a hard time raising enough capital to make something like this go, maybe there is someone who's sitting there. Like, let's call it, I know it's not him, but let's call it a Mark Cuban type.
A rich hobbyist.
There's a Mark Cuban type that's sitting there going, I wonder if I could be the difference in those guys getting
absolutely
the deal done.
Whether they're Nashville connected or not, you reach out and you start having those conversations. Maybe you're Chicago connected and you've been considering it and you're thinking, maybe I have a team that could stay here. Is if Dave Stewart already has the inside here, do I need to go, you know, through that channel or compete with that channel?
Maybe you got a little bit of money. Maybe your brother owns an NBA team and you were thinking about throwing your name into the hat. There's all sorts of things that could end up happening with this whole thing.
Oh, boy. Because, Lawrence, I was convinced, and I was convinced even an hour ago, that this is, you know, a very well-played, natural bit of Reinsdorfian leverage to try and still get what he wants, which is in-state financing to build his new stadium.
I think that there is an element of that. Tanny will appreciate this. Did they work themselves into a shoot? It's a wrestling
it's a video game?
Reference.
Oh, okay.
The idea of you're doing all this stuff and you're just kind of playing around.
Sure.
Like, for example, when we had CM Punk on, when we asked him about his opponent, that was a work.
Yeah.
Okay. But if we were to ask him about Vince McMahon, that would be a shoot.
Sure.
Meaning it's real. So it's possible that the White Sox worked themselves into a shoot of, people actually are interested in buying, and now we can consider it.
Let me give you a poker reference. Is it a semi-bluff?
Ooh.
The semi-bluff in poker is, let's say you are three ways to the nut flush draw. Like, you only you have the ace of a suit, but you only have three of them. You do the semi-bluff, and then the fourth one comes, and all of a sudden, or you could be, it could be a semi-bluff when you are four to the flush, and so you're bluffing because you might hit, and then you actually do hit. on the turn or the river. So it could be a semi-bluff in those instances.
I like that we are cross-referencing references. Yes. It's a good thing.
Because I can tell you this. Here's something I heard today, that when the Nashville mayor visit happened from Jerry Reinsdorf, you remember when he visited with the mayor? The story that he said was that he was advocating for Dave Stewart to the Nashville mayor. He was advocating for Dave Stewart. Hey, I just wanted to tell you that my friend Dave is a really viable person, and you ought to really give this some cred. But then when the what came out of that Nashville visit was, it was framed as a possibility for the White Sox and used as leverage, and Jerry was not displeased that idea came from the meeting. That's what I got today.
Why don't we talk a little bit about this, the concept of relocation versus expansion and Nashville and how White Sox fans feel about all of this stuff. This is the Spiegel and Holmes show. We will be back and we will keep talking about this next on The Score.
Well, first of all, somebody at Cranes decided that he wanted to write you're looking at the Bears at the White Sox lease, you know, has 6 or 7 years left to go, and the White Sox have some options, and they might move out of the city, they might move out of town, they might go to Nashville. That wasn't us. That was a guy at Cranes. Now, ever since the article came out, well, I've been reading about that. I've been threatening to move the team to Nashville. I mean, that article didn't come from me. But it's obvious if we have 6 years left, I think that's what it is, we got to decide. Are we, you know, what's the future going to be? And you know, we'll get to it. But I've never threatened to move out. We haven't even begun to have discussions with the sports authority, which we'll have to do soon.
That is a tremendous pull by Chris Tannehill. He and Shane Reardon, the fine producers of this program, it's the Spiegel and Holmes show. That goes to exactly what I mentioned before the break, Lawrence, that when Jerry went to visit the mayor of Nashville, I have it on good authority that time, that it was to advocate for Dave Stewart and to talk about how Dave and a minority-led ownership group ought to be what Nashville does in terms of MLB. And then the story came out that the Cranes person wrote that, oh boy, here we go, and this is all about the leverage. And Jerry can protest that it wasn't what he was doing, because that's true, but he kind of liked. He liked what it did. He liked that it made people think it was leverage. He's totally fine with that, because he's done that before, obviously, famously, 30-some years ago with Tampa.
Right. And the other part of it is that Jerry has been saying, well, if I sell the team, there's no guarantee that the new owners are going to keep the team in Chicago. So that plays a part in this, too. It's not a threat, but it's an implied threat.
Well, it's true.
You're coming up, was it 2029, 2030? Your lease runs out. Uh-huh. So where do the White Sox play? Are the White Sox playing on the South Side? Is this a cudgel to try and get the thing done at the 78? Are they in Nashville? All of that stuff is available for people to discuss when it comes to it. And I do want, like, the thing that struck me in dealing with people that are more in the know than I am when it comes to the White Sox and their goings on is that there is still a level of arrogance that is striking, where you go, you do understand that your fan base has never been angrier. Never. There, and maybe worse, there's never been a point in time where White Sox fans were more apathetic, loath to wear their gear, not trying to support the team in this way. And they're also, like, some of this stuff to me is connected tissue. They're also dealing with, like, the CHSN stuff. And they're like, what? Like, really? This is what my winter is going to be? And the person that I blame for why my spring and summer was bad is connected to the reason why my fall and winter might be bad. There's a lot there. But the idea of the White Sox moving to Nashville versus an expansion team going there is interesting.
All right, so what would Nashville want? I mean, Nashville, I think, would prefer to have, in my opinion, they'd prefer to have an existing MLB franchise because it's quicker. It's quicker. It's a quicker path to getting a team and getting potentially a contender because you've got an existing infrastructure and you don't have to build all of that stuff.
Correct.
So I think that's what Nashville would prefer.
It would cost less, too.
Yes.
And then you have to wonder if the owners would vote for that because it's like $300 million for a relocation fee.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking $1 to $2 billion for an expansion fee.
Right.
Which you could argue might be a better way to build a baseball team because they'll probably be an expansion draft to go along with that.
You could argue that, but the thing is that expansion is probably not going to happen anytime soon. They've got to get some things under control, like the RSN situation.
Which is going to play a role in player salaries, I promise you.
100%. And the biggest deal is what the owners want and what they're going to lean on and try to make happen is a salary cap. And every time there's a work stoppage of any kind, this is the goal from the owner's perspective. And I think it actually makes some sense for the health of the league. And that's a whole other conversation. But this next one, you know, this next time that there's a work stoppage, you're going to see the owners lean harder than ever before to try to get a salary cap. And there might be no expansion before that issue is resolved.
The term that sent chills down my spine when I talked to some people on the broadcast side and on the ownership side of this earlier this summer was bloodbath. That the next stoppage,
yeah,
the next big thing that happens between ownership and players,
yeah,
bloodbath. Yeah. That's scary. Like if you love baseball, and you know what? You know what's weird about it, Speaks?
I do love baseball. There's games today.
I know you do. And that's what that's what I wanted to say. This has been a postseason worth celebrating baseball. This postseason has been phenomenal. You got new faces, new names. And then at the end of it, you're probably going to end up with the two teams that spend the most money, right? That's the way that it looks like it's going to go.
It does.
But even with that, there's joy because four of the best, seven players in the world would be playing in that World Series. So there's that part of it. And then there's always something. Like, that's baseball sometimes can't get out of its own way. There's always something that you go, man, I got to enjoy all of this right now because something bad's getting ready to happen.
Well, it's a massive story here. It's obviously a story in Nashville, but I think the playoffs are probably a bigger story across the country. But baseball does often get in its way. So it's interesting. I think there's a lot here to figure out in terms of what Nashville wants, but I think we're on it. Nashville wants a team no matter how they can get a team. And right now, getting a team to relocate there is a much more likely scenario than an expansion team anytime soon.
As we continue to talk about this story over the next couple of days, because I'm self-audit like as the show goes on, I do think we need to have the conversation with White Sox fans about like the idea. Unfortunately, we have to ask them again, like, how would you feel?
Oh God, if it's your team, the whole thing is so freaking joyless, man.
I know.
It is a drain.
It
sucks. It makes you not like sports. I wish there was something that we did like.
Yeah, there was something last night, Speaks, that the more we talked about it yesterday, the more I consumed it last night, kind of gave me a little jolt of joy. And I think the two of us should live in that sports joy, Chicago sports joy, amidst there not being a lot of it other than the Bears. Let's talk about that next on The Score.